Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. I don't juice. Nope. No juicing for me. I am juice-free. I'm a non-juicer. Okay, I don't mean the A-Rod kind of juicing that we're all hearing about right now. I mean, not that I would ever consider something like that, because when you're my height, you really have to be careful of the muscle development, or you wind up looking like Popeye the Sailor Girl instead. No, I mean the liquid kind of juicing, like juicing as a verb, as in, do you juice? As in, do you ingest or consume large amounts of your daily intake of sustenance in a liquefied form in small plastic bottles with all kinds of petrochemicals leaching into that juice? No, I do not. And I don't smoke or do meth either, for that matter, because imho, they're just as stupid as juicing. I mean, I do drink, or should I say I beverage? I beverage all kinds of liquidy things like water and tea and iced decaf coffee and wine and gin and good IPAs all fairly regularly, especially the water. I water like crazy. Mostly my garden, but also myself, especially when I'm cardioing or after I spin. Do you spin? After you spin, you should hydrate. I hydrate. Boy, do I hydrate. Do you hydrate? Hydration is very important. And I most certainly also ingest lots of different stuff, sometimes even more than three times a day. And I consume. We all consume all the time. It's what we do as humans. And sometimes when I feel really crazy, I like to slaw. When I get my hands on a good cabbage and I feel like pulling out my food processor, I slawed just last night. And then this morning, Now, one time many years ago, a fellow line cook asked me if I burned. That's what she said to me one day. Do you burn? I was confused. Since we were both line cooks, I thought she was maybe assessing my cooking skills or maybe my ability to tan. I thought she was going to suggest a sunblock product for me or something, you know, out of concern for my skin. It turns out she wanted to know if I smoked weed. Did I burn? Yes, sometimes if someone else bought. If you buy, I'll burn because I don't like to spend. I do like to save. Chris says that in gay code, back when you picked up guys at clubs, if they said, do you party, it was code for, do you do crystal and have sex at the same time? Apparently, this code has transferred to online communications as well. Chris's answer to that question was always no, because the question leaves out that that's how gay men got AIDS. Chris wants to go on the record and say that no, he does not AIDS as a verb. And so also, because if someone else bought, I burned, I save. And so I bank. Most of us bank. Where do you bank? I bank online. I do not, however, do my banking online. That's what we did in the old days when we actually had to stand online, or as they say in the rest of the country, stand in line. We did our banking at the bank where we stood online, staring into space, not devicing. We had no devices. Sometimes I brought a book with me to read online. I read still. But now with devices, we bank online because we are very busy. Too busy for banking, so we all just bank. I bank, you bank, she banks, we all bank. Nowadays in New York, we even bank when we ride bikes. That's how much we bank. That leaves a lot more time for other things we can post about. I post, I also tweet. We can post and tweet things. Things like posts about juicing. Do you juice? Oh, yes, of course I juice. Everyone juices. Do you cleanse? Oh, yes, I cleanse once a month. I ingest nothing but escarole juice and cinnamon for 5 days, don't you? No. I have a little Mexican lady who comes twice a month for that. She cleanses my kitchen and my bathroom, and she puts my stuff into little piles, and I pay her $40. I'm not such a good cleanser, so I have to pay her for that. Sometimes she texts me and says, Erika, I no clean you apartment today. She texts. She can barely speak English, but she texts. I text a lot, too. I used to phone. Phoning was a big part of our lives, but now, not so much phoning. Now we text. Again, more time for juicing. Things really do get better and better every day. Now, a few weeks ago, I went to an audition. I auditioned. I've been auditioning. The audition was for a commercial for a food vacuum sealing machine for home use. Like a cryovac machine for all you chefy types out there who know what I'm talking about, but for home use. A home food vacuum sealing machine. And it's very cool, and I really like it, and it works really well. And I got the part, so they gave me two of them. One will be put in the Foodiness Fallout shelter so we can vacuum seal after the apocalypse and lock in freshness forever. The other one is just sitting in my apartment. Maybe I'll have a contest and a lucky listener can win it. Anyway, I've been vacuum sealing everything these days, everything except juice. But back to the audition. So we had to audition in groups of three and give a little quickie spiel about who we were and how the machine would help us eat better and more healthily and all that. You know, wellness. You know how much I'm into wellness, which used to just be called health. I health. Now I well. Now, before you get all judgy about me doing commercials for products like that, just remember that Heritage Radio Network is nonprofit and member-supported like PBS. Enough said. Don't judge. That's my job. You juice. I'll judge. So, the audition group consisted of me and a very tall, model-y type woman from New Zealand and a 30-something-ish black man. Now, after I gave my little audition spiel about being a chef and a culinary instructor and having a radio show and being a gardener and a beekeeper, I beekeep, and all that Brooklyn-y stuff, he started in with his spiel about how he was a vegetarian, but he was almost a vegan, and he was working his way toward the great accomplishment of that, apparently, because at which point he looked at me with eager pride for my approval. Because people think that when I say eating real, I mean being a vegan for some crazy reason. And if they become vegans, it's like they've achieved some kind of state of grace or nirvana and will be let into some magical club. As if. And which, by the way, has got to be the least fun club in the world. Now, after the audition, he cornered me in the elevator to tell me more about how he's almost achieved vegan level one. And wasn't that great? And also, he's gotten really into eating raw and also juicing. And did I juice? And I, in my typically tactful and kind way, said, no, I don't juice. Juicing is stupid and a huge waste of food and money, and it's a stupid noun to turn into a verb. And then I left. And guess who got the part in the commercial and the two free machines and who didn't? Ha ha, juice guy. Sucks for you. Because the country has gone juice crazy. And not just the A-Rod kind of juice, which is what you'd probably need to do after a few weeks of living on only celery and green apple juice, because you'd be so weak and malnourished from a lack of any real food. A good shot of steroids would perk you right back up, or maybe you'd need a cheeseburger. Suddenly, we are in a juice moment. Juice is the word. It's in the zeitgeist, at least here in New York and on the West Coast. I can't speak for the rest of the country, although I was in Chicago last weekend, but all I had in Chicago was food. Really, really big food, but that's another show. Every time I turn around in Manhattan these days, and even in my beloved borough of Brooklyn, a new juice store is opening. Juice Generation, Juiced, Jamba Juice, Organic Avenue, And have you seen the prices for those little bottles of water and sugar that they're selling? It makes that $7 pint of beer seem like a bargain, but without the buzz. Okay, so not all juice is water and sugar. Some of it's made from vegetables like kale and spinach and celery and stuff like that. And those are great vegetables. But what happens to the rest of the vegetable after they suck the juice out of it? That's what bothers me so much about this whole juicing thing. Besides the kind of people who do it, which are, of course, the wrong kind of people, and the fact that it's become some ridiculous cult, and now instead of bars and restaurants and boutiques in New York, we have nothing but juice. Well, ATMs, drugstores, Starbucks, frozen yogurt, and juice. Back to what really bothers me about juicing now. You take a perfectly good piece of produce, fruits, vegetables, things that were grown and picked and shipped to you by hardworking people using up precious natural resources to grow them and water them and pick them and then chill and ship them, and that are just fine for you in their whole natural fruit and vegetable forms. Maybe they need a little peeling or cutting or cleaning and maybe a little bit of cooking, but instead of just eating them, the juice people then use even more resources like coal and gas and oil and water to make the electricity to power up those monster juicer machines, manufacture all those tiny plastic bottles full of toxic chemicals, package and refrigerate it all, and then ship it back around the country in refrigerated trucks fueled by more precious natural resources to people who are so duped as to think that the extract of water and chlorophyll and sugar in that little bottle for $9 is better somehow than actually eating the bunch of kale that you can get for $2 or $3. And then where does the pulp and the fiber and the remains of the produce go? Well, ideally, it would go into compost, but more likely it's just going into landfill, along with all the little bottles, where it sits under tons and tons of disposable diapers and old video games from the 90s and never decomposes because it doesn't get any oxygen in a landfill, and instead it decomposes and produces methane and creates more greenhouse gases, and that's why it was 90 degrees in Maine in June, and there's bamboo growing all over my garden. So all this juicing is creating a carbon footprint that's probably twice the size of the one created just by growing and eating the damn produce in its unjuiced, God-given form. And I don't see many of those little plastic bottles going into the recycling bins either, since most people drink them on the go, not at home. And we don't have street-side recycling bins here in New York, and I haven't really seen them in other parts of the country either. So think of all the plastic waste that all those self-righteous, sanctimonious juicers are producing. We're going to take a very short break here. When we come back, let's juice some more.
You're listening to Texas Stampede by Eula on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Weitz, your host. Hello. Remember that if you're a fan of Let's Get Real, you can find us on Facebook, but you can also follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. And also keep in mind that Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit, member-supported station. So you should go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on Join or Donate or whatever that button is and become a member, because we need you and your support. And we also want to know that you're out there and that you're listening. And all of our shows ever made are on the heritageradionetwork.org website. And they're also all on iTunes. So you can listen to us on iTunes whenever and wherever you go. So, do you juice? I don't juice. People who juice to me are like people in cults. But like most cult members or religious zealots or the chronically insecure, which are basically the same thing, the juice people get so defensive. They say, no, you don't understand juicing. It's a lifestyle. We juice. It's our lifestyle. Our lives are styled around little plastic bottles of green and orange juice. Really? I say to them. My lifestyle is styled around things that give me a life, like food and water and tea and IPA. Juicing is not a lifestyle. But don't you have teeth? I ask them innocently. Are you not a fully grown adult, juicing people? Adults capable of biting and chewing whole foods? Don't we progress as humans from an all-liquid diet as infants into toddlerhood where we learn the pleasures and joys of eating solid food? Isn't adulthood about using those teeth while you still have them? You'll be back on the liquid soon enough, believe me, especially if you don't floss those choppers now. So don't you want to enjoy those teeth while they still work? Or are you merely becoming the socially sanctioned upper middle class version of the infantilized potato people from WALL-E? The obese tracksuit wearing, slurpee sipping screen gazers who were too fat and soft to walk on their own? Are the juice people the juicers? Just skinny WALL-E people with more money and an eating disorder? The competitive non-eaters? It's like my episode from a while ago, Organic Avenue is the Raw Food 7-Eleven. About Organic Avenue, which is the upper middle class version of 7-Eleven. All bright lights and lazy, easy access and plastic bottles with straws and packaging. No work, no cooking, no chewing, no food. Just sippy, sip, sipping. Whether it's an 800 calorie Slurpee or a 40 calorie green juice, it's all the same, just in a different tax bracket with different voting habits. And the juice people are so smug. They feel so evolved. We juice. Therefore, we have evolved past food. Food is dirty and messy and complicated and caloric. Juice is easy and clean and involves no chewing. And I don't even have to let it touch my lips. Just like back in junior high when I had anorexia. I'm so clean and pure and evolved. It's really become like a cult. It's like Amway or the Landmark Forum. They start telling you about their newest $2,000 juicer or their newest cleanse program. It's only $65 a day, and I get all the celery and nutmeg juice I need to keep me just barely alive. But I feel so good, so vibrant and clear-eyed. You know why? Because when the human brain senses starvation, it starts to send out signals to the body that you're starving to make you feel better about the fact that you're dying, to make it less horrible. Thanks, brain. And that's just the veggie juices. The fruity ones, the Jamba juices of the world, they're just big Slurpees with added vitamin C. Just as many calories, just as many sugar. Sorry, just as much sugar. No fiber, no nutrients, no there there. The juice people don't do Jamba, though. Jamba is just like 7-Eleven with better marketing and better packaging. Everywhere I turn, like I said, there seems to be an old, iconic New York City establishment closing with decades of history and memories and a devoted clientele and owners who love their patrons and movies filmed in there. And now a juice store is opening where they stood. The average commercial storefront in Manhattan rents for something like $40,000 a month now. That's why Big Nick's Burger Joint on the Upper West Side, my most beloved Upper West Side eating institution, the only place I'll actually eat when I'm on the Upper West Side, is closing because their rent has gone up to something like $40,000 a month. How many little bottles of zucchini dill water do you have to sell and for how much to make that kind of rent? Manhattan used to be the place where the best and the brightest of the world would flock to, the intelligentsia and the artists and the people who knew better. Now it's just full of wealthy suckers and chumps and their underfed wives pushing strollers while texting in traffic and sipping kohlrabi turmeric juice. I mean, if you have $12 to burn, on 12 ounces of eggplant turnip juice and you choose to spend it on that, then you deserve the $4,000 a month studio apartment rent that you happily pay to live in on 16th Street and 10th Avenue across from the projects. But the point is that the tourists can see right into your apartment from the High Line, which makes you feel like a star. Think about how much whole, real food that $12 could buy you. For $12 here in New York today, I can buy 2 bunches of kale or spinach, a half dozen really good pasture-raised eggs, and a couple of cans of black beans. You could cook and eat a really good meal for $12, even here in New York City. And I have, and I do, almost every day. Or you could spend that $12 on a little container of juice. It's really just another nail in the coffin. I know I bemoan the loss of New York here on this show, but the parallels are just too incomparable to not make. As each old New York real-life place closes and another juice place or bank branch or CVS or Sephora or Chipotle or Dunkin' Donuts or 7-Eleven opens, New York City dies a long, slow, cultural starvation death. Like a hedge fund wife on an all chard and clove juice diet. Drip, drip, drip. Now, Chris, my co-producer, gave me a really good idea the other day as we were discussing the show that I'm actually considering. He said that in the mornings when he walks his dog in West Chelsea and all the mommies and the gallery interns trample past him, texting on their devices and drinking little bottles of green juice, he has the instinct to go out onto 8th Avenue, douse himself in gasoline, and set himself on fire like the monks did in Vietnam to protest the war. Now, that seems just a little bit extreme for me, especially because he has a rent-controlled apartment. Why would you give that up? It's not worth killing yourself for. But I think what I'm going to do is stage a juice protest in front of the newest Juice Generation store. I'm going to recreate that iconic, horrific image from the Vietnam War. Now, we all know the image I'm talking about, right? It's horrible. I shouldn't even be joking about it, but enough time has passed, so I think it's okay. I'm going to wrap myself in a sheet like a Buddhist monk and then douse myself from head to toe in carrot apple beet juice. And then I'm going to sit down in front of the store and I'm going to let all the bees in New York land all over me and sting me. Since I can't set myself on fire since I'm doused in juice and not gasoline, the bees can come and sting me until I'm put out of my misery in protest. But unlike in Vietnam, it won't matter. Nobody will see me do it because they'll all be on their phones downloading the newest juice app, hunting for the next juice store, and they won't even notice me sitting there in my juicy sheet protesting. I protest. Do you protest? But think of the press that I might get. I mean, Gawker would love that. So, if you don't want to drink little toxic, high carbon footprint, 2-ounce bottles of shit, or be the kind of chump who does, keep tuning in to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. And tune in next week when we revisit what foodiness has done to fruit in You Can't Have a Proustian Moment with a Welch's Grape Soda either, where we will revisit some of my finer thoughts on fruit and what foodiness has done to fruit. So that's it for tonight. Remember, as I said, you can follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. Find me on Facebook. You can also, you can also go to my website, which I always forget to mention, which is letsgetrealshow.com, and check it out because I've been videotaping the shows every week. So if you want to see what I look like, here's your chance. Thanks to Joe in the control room. Thanks to Ben Kaplan, who wrote my theme music. Thanks to Chris Nutter, my co-producer and co-conspirator. That's it for tonight. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.